time word for every one of us here today. He's not going to leave you broken. Matthew 11, verse 28. We are allowed the Spirit to do what the Spirit does. He's a comforter. He's a healer. He's a restorer. He provides solutions. Matthew 11, 28. Jesus is talking. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." You are working and heaviness is upon you. But as a promise, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Educate yourself on what my abilities are. And I tell you, I'm meek. I'm lowly in heart. And you shall find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hallelujah. God, in this hour, there's burden, heaviness, heartache, confusion. I'm so glad that Jesus, you are the solution. We have life issues, life struggles, life pains. But when we are in the house of God and we're hearing your word and we're feeling your presence, we have the solution. I can pour my heart out, God, in the dry and barren land and find a solution. I can reach out to you, God, in my lonely state and find a solution. I can open my heart up to you and find that there's hope in the presence of Almighty God. I know there's a lot going on, but then I'm in your presence. And when I hear the promises of your word, something happens. And now I know Jesus could touch me and make me whole. So I'm praying, oh God, we all would take your yoke. Let go of our burdens. Trust in your word. In Jesus' name. Why don't you just give God a praise as we're seated here this morning. I just praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I praise you. I praise you, God. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Thank you, Devin. It's dry. It's barren. It's a wilderness. It's the same cycle. It's the same thing every day. Then it has been the same thing every week. Weeks turn into months. Months turning into years. And the thing about it being a wilderness, it's that there is some vegetation. Me and Devin like to watch a lot of earth animal science stuff. And when you look at a desert, there is some vegetation. There's just not enough of it. I don't want to sound completely distraught this morning. Every now and again, our spirits are lifted. A positive word can come into our life. A person can give a call or a text or an email that uplifts me. Social media keeps me a bit connected. A daily 6-0 from Sister Barlow is always certainly vegetation. But I must admit, I still feel barren, isolated. Quite frankly, I just feel disconnected and dry. Am I talking to anybody already? Do not misunderstand me. COVID-19 is a part of it. I wouldn't be honest if I had said there is no bearing or it has no place in it. But I also want to say COVID-19 is an easy target. That is the easy symptom. But truthfully, I was in a wilderness long before COVID-19 showed up. I have been dealing with some struggles. I've been dealing with some issues. I've been dealing with some things in my heart and my life long before COVID-19 hit. But because things have slowed down so much since March, it has magnified the things in my mind. And now I can more clearly see that I have been in a wilderness for quite a long time now. I've seen myself in my life and my circumstances as I look and I evaluate them. There is this pit feeling of emptiness on the inside. I have seen good days and I have seen bad days, but it seems like they just all run together and they just feel the same. It feels like something is constantly trying to pull me down. It's like something is always fighting me. Something is always in my mind resisting my peace. It's like something is always wanting to keep me from having simple contentment. Yes, I can quickly look at certain obvious things in my life and point to them as the reason behind it and to give blame. I can point to my health and say, yeah, that's obvious, that's the problem. I can take a look at my finances and say, yep, that's it, I've been broke for a while now. I can look at my spouse and say, never mind. I can look at the unrest in the world. I can look at the problems that are in any and every church, including our own. I can look at so many things and accuse them why I am in this, praise God, wilderness. But really, I have to say those things could not be the main things, because the reason why I feel like those cannot be the main issue is because I've had health problems before. And I came out all right. They didn't affect me in those times. I've certainly been in places where my financial situation wasn't the best, and it did not affect me whatsoever like it is now. What I guess I'm trying to say is that there are things that seem like they're easy things to point to, but when I look at them honestly, one by one, they may have been a lot of issues connected within each other, but they cannot be the root issue, because of what I've been dealing with has been deeper than those things. Because I found out as I evaluate those things, if it's not one thing, it's another. If I get my finances right, then my health becomes an issue. And if my health comes out all right, then something goes wrong with my car, with my job. And when I get these things fixed, then my marriage starts acting up. And when I get my marriage together, my kids start acting a fool. When I get one thing in alignment, four more things get out of alignment. And when I truly evaluate it, I find that I'm never able to keep up with all the changing things that go on. When this problem gets fixed and this thing is all right, then this thing shows up and say, well, you're still lacking here. You get all these things moving in the right direction, but then here you still feel unsatisfied, because if it's not one thing, it's always going to be something else. So what is it?
So when I find that sad, I'm finding that I need something. Now hear me right now. I need something that will deal with the internal issues that are the things that are going to stabilize me when the external will continually be moving around. I just say that again. It's not the environment that we need to be concerning ourselves with. The environment is always going to change. The environment is always going to bring messes and thought processes and messes up emotionally. And so what I need, if I'm going to deal with the inner root issues of my life, I need something that will fix the internal area when the environment around me is all messed up. What I need to happen in my wilderness is that whatsoever things sometimes happen, I can get a hold of something internally that would not allow my external to have authority over me. Am I talking to anybody? Too many of us, me included, we allow the external to change our consecrations and change our mentality. But there's something that God wants to speak inside of us that helps us understand. I don't care what your environment brings into your surroundings, but that you would know that when I have a plan for you and when I want to unfold great things in your life, you will not allow the environment to take you off the course I've set you on. And the church has to live in that place. The church has to live in that position that I will not base my walk with God and my strategies in God based on external things, because external things will continue to happen. I'm going to get my mind and my attention on the Word of the Lord. And so now I want to take you to our main text now. I opened up with helping us understand that every yoke and every problem we have, the Lord says, come and bring them to me. And so we initiate the conversation that I can lay all my problems, all my issues at Him, and let that be my starting point. I can use that now to build on what else that He provides. And the title of this message today is simply The Solution. And so as we go to Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 to be exact, we are going to hear what the Lord has to speak to us this morning. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. And when he was entered into a ship, the disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And the disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful, O ye little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. I usually go right into the story, preaching about the issues that the disciples had, preaching about them like we don't do the same thing that they do. Many times we read the Word of God and we slap the Israelites and we slap the disciples and we slap everybody who we think should have done a different thing. But in all reality, we do exactly what they would have done. They are just a mirror of what we do, what we think, and how we act. And so preaching about how they were afraid and troubled and woke up Jesus in a panic, clearly spoke words of doubt. Master, we perish. I'm not going to do that today. I am not going to focus on the disciples' actions, because it is only a reflection of what we do ourselves. This morning, we're not talking about our problems. This morning, I want to focus in our attention on the solution to our problems. Time and time again, I want us to notice and pay attention to some other things that are surrounding this text. I want us to look at what happened to two specific time periods in this text. Number one, what was going on before the storm, and number two, what happened after the storm. With great energy and explanation before the storm, Jesus was with a great multitude, so much that the multitude was there that He had to teach literally from the sea because they were crowding Him too much. Oh God, give us a point in time in this end time period where we would no longer be able to meet in the house of God. Lord, let in time revival happen so great there will be no more rooms in our four walls, because the hunger inside of our community is so great for the word of the Lord. And so he had to project his voice from that boat. And it is a time, watch me here, is that he began to teach about the parable of the sower, helping them understand that you have to be good ground. You have to allow the word of God to really get on the inside if it is going to make a difference. I talked to you last week, and I hope some of you did not always forget it. You've got to get yourself in position for a blessing when you come in the house of God. Whether you are here or you're in your room right now, there has to be something on the inside of you that says, God, I'm desperate for a now word. I'm desperate for a life-changing word. I will hang on every word that comes out of the mouth, because what I'm dealing with, I cannot have empty religion anymore. I cannot have tradition anymore. The battles in my mind, the battles in my heart, and the battles I can't even explain to anybody are really going on in this time. Of me, and so I need a prophetic and anointed word in this hour, and I want to be attentive to that word, because I know God has the word, but can I be good ground to receive what he's trying to speak to me? Is there hunger in this room right now? Raise your hand and let that be a prayer. God, let me be good ground this morning. God, don't let me hear another sermon. Let me hear a word right now. So he goes on before the storm, explaining that a candle is not brought to be put under a bushel or under a pan, but to be put on a candlestick to shine. I'm telling everybody on the sound of my voice, God has anointed every one of us to shine in this hour. God wants to pull out the best of you in this hour. God wants you to see what you're made of in this hour. Don't be among them that when the tough, praise God, gets cold, you throw in the towel. But let it be in the darkest hour of your life. You're going to stand up and rise up and say, I'm not going to run away. I'm going to find strength in the presence of Almighty God. I'm not saying I'm strong in of myself. I'm not saying I have all the answers. But what I am saying is, my mind's made up to fight in the middle of my storm. The Bible says that Jesus said, let your light shine. Don't you go dim in the middle of this hour. Don't you go away and cower in the hardest time we've ever lived in. Let this be a moment where you say, I'm going to let my light shine. Let your light shine in the middle of the confusion. I believe it. The people of God should be shining in this moment. The world and even us don't have the answer. So somebody has to stand up and say, I got it. But it's not me. It's the one I want to point you to. And not even me just pointing you to him. It's me pointing to you what he says. What God says matters. And I got to start holding on to what God says above what I see. And so Jesus, before the storm, is speaking about being good ground and speaking about being the light of the world. And he begins to relate the kingdom of God about a seed. I don't know how it works, but that seed will grow. I don't know how it works, but that seed will spring up. That seed will multiply. That seed might have to die. That seed might have to push a little bit, but there is something that is going on underneath the ground, underneath the upper surface. There's something deeper going on that we cannot see with our eyes. But again, God, Jesus, is revealing this to those that choose to show up and say, he's saying, hear what I'm saying. The kingdom of God is definitely going to bring forth a harvest. Then how the mustard seed It might be the smallest of all seeds, but don't let that confuse you. It is the greatest of all herbs. Hallelujah. When the earth seed is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest among herbs. I want some of you. You got dirt all around you. You got things compacted and compiled upon you. But let me tell you, you are about to break forth in the hour. I feel prophecy coming on my spirit to someone that's hearing what I'm saying. I know you got things heavy on your heart, but you must understand the seed manifestation of the Word of God. Let that seed go down deep. Let that seed get water. Let that seed go through its process. And that seed is the Word of God. You might not understand it in that moment, but let me tell you, when you get down deep, there's something that is going to manifest itself in the middle of it. So, don't miss it. It's right there. There's the message. Because the truth and the solution, what we're talking about, was right there. He says, catch that I'm speaking before the storm about the seed. The seed was the main object lesson, which, if I can explain, the seed is something that is a long-term agent. A seed represents the long-term gain, not the short-term. Where we miss it is we keep on fighting, messing up, getting all twisted for the short-term gain. The immediate satisfaction. The immediate feeling good. The immediate, everything is lined up. And God is saying, watch the principle of the seed. That the seed, it takes time. The seed takes a while. The seed is not bought overnight. And I want you to understand that the long-term solution that is in play for all of our lives right now, Jesus, we're going to know the realization. The solution is a long-term process. But if you recognize, if you plant the seed and allow the seed to do what the seed is supposed to do, it's going to produce more than you ever thought it could produce. Stay with me. Our problem with all that I listed, though limited in dealing with every specific situation and every problem, is that, again, we focus on the short term and the immediate. Focus on my word, he's saying, he's planting. In the middle of your immediate problems, in the middle of your immediate difficulties and barriers, and that's why you are in a wilderness. But when you change your thinking and you align them up with the revelation that he gave in these parables, you will see why he takes them to the boat and say, let's cross over to the other side. And we know that all things work together for good of them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, all the time he's preaching and teaching about the seed, he says, all right, I want you to now focus your attention on me. And we go and we see the scripture here. He said, let's go depart to the other side. He said, let's go depart to the other side. He said, let's go depart to the other side. That was the spoken word by the Messiah. The other side. And one person said, Master, I'll follow you wherever you go. He says, foxes have holes, birds in the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. Another disciple says, let me go first bury my father. And he says, no, follow me. What is he saying? If we're going to go to the other side, you cannot worry about the immediate, is what he's saying. If we're to cross over that place that I destined for you, you cannot overwhelm yourself with what's going on with the immediate. It's telling you the immediate is going to cost you something. He's giving this general statement, but there are other ways where he said about taking up your cross and following me. He's setting a principle inside of the heart. And so let's first cross over to the other side. That is the key. Did you catch it?
Probably not. I know how I'm bringing it. I know how I'm delivering this message. But I'm forcing you to think. He said, go to the other side.
Hey, are you saying that's the key? That's the solution? I don't understand.
If Jesus says, there's a place that he wants to get you to. It won't matter what happens between the before and the after. All you gotta do, if you want to know the solution, is if God said it, then I believe it. And so when they get to verse 23, and they're going and crossing over, we see something happens after the word of God is being spoken. Tragedy happens. Loss happens. Issues happen. Health gets messed up. Kids go crazy. People backslide. Things walk away. A storm all around. But there was still a word already given in advance.
Out of nowhere. Out of nowhere. Who saw it coming? What you're facing? What you're dealing with? You never thought it would happen to you. You never thought it would come by your address, knock on your door, things you're facing. You thought it would never come in your house. And yet here it is, a storm. Here it is. Here it is. It come out of nowhere. And if you have ever been over to a real beach, it's literally wave after wave. How many feel that in your life? It's one wave after another, and it doesn't let up, and it keeps on coming. It keeps on battering against your heart. It keeps on battering against your mind. And you say, Lord, when is it going to stop? And yet it doesn't stop. The waves keep on coming, bearing on you, and all the noise. Through the noise, through the turmoil, through the wind, through the rain, through the problems, and the problems, and the problems, Jesus was still asleep. Because I want sleep. I want rest for you as well. I want contentment for every single one of us that are facing waves and trials and issues, and you have problems that you feel you have no answer for. How in the world is Jesus asleep? I'm not asleep. I'm carrying a lot of burdens, as you are. I'm carrying on an instant turmoil, as you are. But yes, the solution is, Jesus said, I'm not focused on the immediate. I'm focused on the long term. I know what I said. And so if I said, we're going to the other side, there's no wave, there's no trial, there's no mountain, there's no issue in your life that will stop the plan and the will of God unfolding in your life. And so Jesus said, you should be resting right now. Resting on the word, resting on the promises, that is the solution. Can I preach to somebody this morning who's going through a test? Can I preach to somebody right now who's going through a battle? Someone that you're facing immediate storms, and you don't know how to get out, and you're throwing water on the boat. You're doing all you can, and you and I both know the water is still in the boat. It's going to maneuver. It's going to make changes. And yet the water's still flowing in because they're too focused in on the immediate. He's saying, I know where I'm going. The Bible says, Isaiah 55, verse 8, for my thoughts, they are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and snow from heaven and return thither, praise God, the water of the earth, and making it bring forth a bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word. You want rest? You want rest? Get a hold of the word. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in that statement. You want to be secure in your life. You want to make it through every battle, through every situation, through every shifting environment. You're saying, I'm holding on to the word. And when I hold on to the word, the boat is rocking, but I'm asleep. The storms are raging, but I'm secure. And you know what happened when Jesus got woken up? Have you ever been woke up from a good sleep? Aren't you irritated? Jesus woke up and Jesus was irritated. Jesus says, why are you waking me up? I don't care what's going on in the media. I already told you we're going to the other side. And so I don't care what storm you're facing right now. I don't care what confusion you're facing right now. Go back to sleep. Rest your little head and say, I got a word. I got a promise. I'm a stand. I don't care about any virus. I don't care about a wave. I'm holding on to the word of God. Don't you see me sleeping? Now, you might not like my next statement. Because right now, this is the exact time for people like the disciples to want to speak fear into those that are not fearing. People want to pull you to their level of understanding and bring you to feel what they're feeling when you should not be feeling that if you're holding on to the Word of God. That's why I choose not to listen to everybody. I'm not saying they're wrong. All I'm saying is I've already formulated my opinion, and there ain't nothing you gonna bring in my life that's gonna cause me to fear. I'm not saying there is no storm. I'm not saying there are no waves. I'm not saying there is no turmoil. But don't you wake me up while I'm resting in the Lord. Don't you stir me up when my eyes are on the Lord. Is there anybody that's going to walk on that level? Is there anybody that says, we're not denying the storm, we just heard something greater? We're not saying the winds are not here, we see it all around us. But I need my pillow. I want to rest, because when I wake up, I'm going to be on the other side. You know, whatever God says, it shall be. So, as I'm wrapping it up, he finally got up. Oh, boy. Man, it's waking me up. Trying to sleep. Peace! Be still. That's it? That's it? You spoke a few words, and everything became still. The greater revelation is, I didn't have to. This is what we miss as Christians, as believers, as men and women of God. We profess all day long, but we don't walk in nothing. You know why I'm not on Facebook that much? Because people wear me out. How can in one statement you worship, you praise, you sing, and you dance, and then when you go out to normal life, all I hear is complaining and crying and worrying and doubting and fear. And the Lord, He's speaking His frustration. I don't have to always silence the storm. That's our problem. Our prayer is, Master, wake up. We're perishing. He says, how can that be? I died for you. I filled you with the Holy Ghost. That's what I'm talking about. We don't really believe it. We only believe God when the storm is quiet. What did they say? I didn't read it. I'm going to read it now. Verse 27. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and sea obey him? And Jesus says, you missed a greater revelation. We want the shallow, immediate revelation. I want to take this church to a deeper revelation. That if the winds never stop blowing, I'm going to keep sleeping. Is the revelation always be that God has to answer when you want it for you to be marveled at His hand? Marveled at His works? Marveled at His abilities when He is a magician for you? Is that when you are impressed with God, when there's a peace in every area of your life? What about when there is no peace? Do you still trust Him in? Or do you only serve God when everything is right? Do you only serve God when everything is lined up? And I'm praying conviction is moving all through this room. And God is saying, I'm trying to create men and women of God of strength that know how to go through a test and a battle and get their pillow out and get their favorite blanket and say, wake me up when we get the other side. I don't care about all the immediate things that goes on. There will always be something. And so what you will find me do is with my hand raised and my mouth open and say, don't come hell or high water. I trust in the hand and the plan of God. Someone raise your hand right now and say, Lord, help me in my storm. 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 In my unanswered prayer. In my hurting, in my loneliness. God, that's why I want us to rest. I want to rest when there's crashing waves. I want to rest when the boat is sinking. I want to rest when there's thunders and lightning and confusion everywhere. Drama everywhere. Problems everywhere. And I'm still sleeping. Why? How? I got a word. I got a word that He says, I'm crossing over. I got a word that He says that backsliders are coming back. I got a word that my body will be healed. And so maybe I'm hurting now. Maybe I'm rushing now. But I'm going to rest. I'm going to rest. Now watch this last part. They got over to the other side. And there were two men that were demon-possessed. There were two men who were coming up out of tombs. They were exceedingly fierce. They were hard to approach. They were hard to bear. They were troublesome. They smelled bad. They were addicted. They were hurting. And they were lonely. And Jesus had to help the disciples understand the reason why you got to go through a storm is because there's somebody going through a great storm. And the reason why I'm going to get you out of your storm is because when you come out on the other side of your problem and your issue and your heartache and your confusion and your chaos and your limitations, and when God brings you out, you're in the perfect position to minister to somebody who has more pain than you. When we come out of this thing, God is saying to somebody who's so lost, I don't even remember if I told you this story or not. I'm going to tell it to you again. But about 3 weeks ago, it won't shake. It won't shake. Because it's one isolated incident that helps you understand it's so greater or larger scale. Of people out there that don't have anybody. He asked me for something. I said, no, I'm not giving you that. To my mind, you're young. And I believe in tough love. And he got serious quick. He says, I don't have anybody. He's about 24 years old, Katie. And he looks like my son, little Rodney. And he was fighting back tears. He says, I don't have anybody. And you see the hopelessness in his eyes. And that's just one case. There's people that you run into throughout the week. And people you see that are forgotten. People you see that may even have stuff, but on the inside there's so much darkness. Pain and confusion in their eyes. And you can see it. But what happens to us? We get so selfish, so self-centered, so human. And Jesus says, look where I brought you to. There's somebody worse off than you. So how about you be the solution instead of looking at every problem that you have? Why don't you start putting yourself in a position where you are nothing of yourself? Only what matters is trying to do a work for God. It may not be perfect. Everything might not be right. But you understand that there's something that God has called you to do. Will somebody raise your hand? Will somebody feel what God is putting inside? Will somebody feel after the Holy Ghost right now and say, Lord, if I gotta go through a storm to be a solution for somebody else, do whatever it takes in this hour. God is going to minister to you. God is going to help you in your true battles. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Your battles are real. Your problems are real. But if you're with Jesus, you're going to come out. There's two other people that don't have Him. They don't have the Word. They don't have the promise. It's up to you to get to them. Sometimes I gotta go through a storm just to get to those that need it the most. Your storm that you're going through, that storm you're trying to avoid, that storm you're trying to run away from, is actually leading you to hungry vessels. Longing, because somebody just reached out. I'm done. I'm just trying to follow the Holy Ghost. I'm trying to do what God wants me to do. But somebody get a burden this morning. Get a burden for the backslider. Get a burden for the lost child. Get a burden for somebody that has not heard the gospel yet, because we as a church have not done all that we can do yet. I want to do more in my storm. If you're at home right now, listen again. Find a place to kneel and say, Lord, yes, I got problems. Yes, I got areas I want better in my life. And yes, I want things, oh God, I want fixed. But let me rest in the storm so we can go to the other side and be the best we've been called to be. Does it mean your life doesn't matter? It just means that you believe differently now. And you may have to go through a trial to get to the other side of God's promises. God bless you. The solution is there for you. In your pain, in your season, cry out. Come on. Let's be raised up in our souls. Raised up in our souls. Raised up in our souls. Somebody find rest. That's the message of God. Some of you have been working too hard. You've been waking too up. In a moment you should be sleeping and resting and secure in the love of God, in the help of God. Everything in your life is going to be alright because you're with Him. He says, foxes have holes and bird in the air. I'm a nest and I have nowhere to lay my head down. He says, follow me. Follow me in the storm. Follow me in the uncomfortable places. Follow me when everything's not going well that you wanted to. Follow me. There's some out there that are possessed that need your word, need your testimony, need your love, need your bread, need your time, need your energy, need you, need you, need you. I'm going to bring you out. I'm going to bring you through. For a purpose. Say, God, give me a word. Give me a word. I'm crossing over. I'm crossing over. I'm crossing over.
Thank you.